From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and a lot of you hanging on. Go right to the phone lines. First up is Fernando in Whittier, California. Hi.
Hey, Hank, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
Hank, my question is, what would you say to a Christian denomination that's well-renowned, well-known, allowing a Masonic member to come in and speak over their pulpits at certain conferences?
Well, I think to have anyone speak in any pulpit means that they should be thoroughly equipped in the essentials of the historic Christian faith, in essentials unity and non-essentials liberty, and in all things charity. And therefore, if this Freemason is thoroughly equipped in essential Christian doctrine and committed to the essentials of the historic Christian faith, I wouldn't have any problem with it. But the problem that you have typically is that you have Freemasons communicating what the Masonic Bible communicates, and that is, though religions are many, religion is one, and thus men can come to their altars regardless of their gods. And in the biblical perspective, certainly when you're guarding your pulpit as a shepherd, you don't want people to communicate that there are many different altars and many different gods. There's only one God, the God revealed in Scripture, and He is the only one to be served and worshiped, and the only way that we can be reconciled to God is through Jesus Christ, not through what we have done, but rather through what He has done on our behalf. So I think, again, it's critical that pastors protect their pulpits. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Christian in Detroit, Michigan. Hi, Christian.
I've read your book, your collector's book, and what's disturbing is because my sister is a Jehovah's Witness. And I was wondering, is Jehovah Witnesses are the truth or not?
Well, no, they're not. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Christianity died with the last of the apostles, and they believe Christianity was not resurrected until their founder, Charles Taze Russell, began organizing the Watchtower Society back in 1870. So from their perspective, Christianity disappeared. And they say the cross is a pagan symbol adopted by an apostate church. Salvation is impossible apart from the Watchtower organization. And certainly while the witnesses on your doorstep consider themselves to be the only authentic expression of Christianity, the reality is that the Watchtower organization compromises, confuses, or contradicts essential Christian doctrine. And this is very serious, particularly when it comes to the nature of God. They're teaching their devotees that the Trinity is a freakish-looking three-headed God invented by Satan, and that Jesus is merely a God. They teach that Jesus was created by God as the Archangel Michael, that during his earthly sojourn, he became merely human. And then after his crucifixion, he was recreated an immaterial spirit creature. These are just some of the dangerous doctrines that they're teaching, which completely undermine orthodox, authentic Christianity.
Okay, that's understandable. Thank you.
You got it. And, you know, while there are spiritual dangers, it's also worth mentioning that there are physical dangers involved. I should note that under the threat of being disfellowshipped, Jehovah's Witnesses are barred from celebrating Christmas, birthdays, holidays. But that's not the real problem. The real problem is that They have regulations regarding vaccinations, organ transplants, blood transfusions, and these ordinances are always in the state of flux. So in 1931, Jehovah's Witnesses, or at least the devotees of the Watchtower, were instructed to refuse vaccinations. By 1952, that regulation was rescinded. In 1967, organ transplants were ruled a forbidden form of cannibalism. By 1980, the edict was erased. In 1909, the Watchtower produced a prohibition against blood transfusions. Well, based on their past history, that may one day become a relic of the past. But in the meantime, tens of thousands have not only been ravaged spiritually by the Watchtower Society, but have paid the ultimate physical price as well. This is a very dangerous cultic organization. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Reed. Reed is listening in Salt Lake City, Utah. Hi, Reed.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. Hey, are you familiar with Chuck Missler?
I am.
So, I listened a few years ago. A friend gave me a presentation by him that was entitled Inheritance and Reward. Are you familiar with that?
No, I'm not.
It was an older presentation, probably 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But he covered this idea that a certain type of Christian, what he called the overcomers, would experience a greater heaven than other type of Christians. They'd have more responsibilities, there'd be more blessings, they'd have more crowns. Have you heard of this concept before?
Well, yeah. I mean, a couple of things. One is I wouldn't be listening to Chuck Missler. He's a sensationalist. He's highly prone to theological speculation. But as far as rewards in heaven are concerned, that's a thoroughly biblical concept. I mean, what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is that no one can lay any foundation other than one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. And then says Paul, if anyone builds on that foundation, you can do so using precious stones like gold or silver or costly stones, or you can use wood, hay, and straw. And your work is going to be shown for what it is because the day of the Lord will bring it to light. Each person's work will be tested, and if what they have built survives, they will receive reward. If it is burned up, they will suffer loss. They themselves will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. And Jesus said much the same thing. Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me, and I'll give to everyone according to what he has done. Or do not store for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt, and where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So Jesus, again, was very, very careful to teach us that we should work for those rewards that would endure eternally.
Okay, so that clears that up. So would a good analogy of heaven be something like, let's say that Beverly Hills was heaven, which it absolutely is not, but those that live in the smaller homes would be the Christians that didn't build or do the large work very effectively, and those that lived in, you know, the nicer mansions would be those that were obedient to the Lord and built treasure while they're here on earth in heaven.
Well, I think the analogies break down ultimately, but look, rewards involve both enlarged responsibilities in eternity as well as enhanced spiritual capacities. So, for example, the capacity for enjoying music is greatly enhanced if you master a musical instrument. And in much the same way, the work we do here and now will greatly enhance our capacity for enjoying eternity. So you can imagine that my dad used to say there are different size pails. They're completely full. They're complete in themselves, but they're different sizes. And an analogy I have used on the air is if I went to play golf with Tiger Woods on a perfect day, and I played the very best game I could possibly play, I would be able to appreciate golf at a pretty high level, but it would not in any way correspond to the appreciation that he has when he plays golf, because I can't even fathom what it would be like to play golf like he plays golf. So, you know, I think the bottom line is, while the analogies break down, that one included, the point is that we are very clearly told that the dead, great, and small will stand before the throne, and books will be opened, another book will be opened, which is the book of life. But the dead are judged according to what they have done as recorded in the books. This is not talking about, in any way, rewards of salvation, but rather rewards of service. Probably the best way to put it in my last second before we go to break.
Being asleep at the wheel is dangerous. In fact, it can be downright deadly. That should be a wake-up call to Christians who are dangerously asleep at the wheel when it comes to wokeism. It's a deadly ideology that permits no discussion or debate. Simply obey or else. Make no mistake, people who are tolerant of such madness and incivility aren't being gracious. They are being dangerously and perhaps fatally naive. So grave are the threats of wokeism to civilization as we have known it that we have dedicated an entire special edition of the Christian Research Journal to analyzing this now rampant social and mental disease. To receive your copy of the special woke edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this.
If you thought the pandemic was scary, it may actually pale in comparison to today's pandementia. We're talking about wokeism and its growing legions of followers who have defiantly and dangerously declared their independence from reality. That's right. For those infected by the woke virus, anytime their ideology encounters reality, ideology wins. To help halt the advance of this deadly social and mental disease, you'll want a copy of the upcoming special edition of the Christian Research Journal. In it, you'll feast on penetrating analyses and criticisms of one of the most dangerous ideologies in modern history, all written to help you grasp just how deranged this tyrannical movement actually is. To receive your copy, visit equip.org, that's equip.org, or call 888-7000-CRI, that's 888-7000-CRI.
The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org.
or call 888-7000-CRI. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. We'll go right back to our phone caller, Cheryl, next in Plano, Texas. Hi, Cheryl.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I heard you talking with the young man earlier about the Jehovah's Witness faith, and I have a friend who is in the faith, and she's a young woman in her 40s and suffering with breast cancer, and she refuses to have a blood transfusion because they don't believe in getting blood, so now she's on hospice because she can't continue chemo without having the blood transfusion. And so, and I've been trying to witness to her to kind of understand what they believe and why they believe that. And she really can't explain why she believes what she believes. You know, she just knows that that's their faith and that's what they believe. So I was wondering a way that I can try to something that I could say that will, you know, help her to understand, you know, that not to say that they're wrong and they're in her beliefs, because I don't want them to get on the defense and they don't want to listen to anything, but to maybe try to get her to think another way of what she's doing.
Yes, I think it's really important in this particular circumstance that we do what we can to see if we can get someone else to talk to her as well, because this is a matter of life and death. In other words, it sounds to me like if she gets a blood transfusion, she has the possibility of life, whereas if she doesn't, she's most certainly going to die. In fact, you're saying she's already in hospice. So I think we need to do whatever we can to help in this regard as well. But I think that the whole notion of a blood transfusion comes from a complete misunderstanding of what the blood is efficacious for to begin with. Biblically, there's not some kind of magical efficacy in blood. It's rather that the blood of Jesus Christ, which is emblematic of the death of Jesus Christ, is sufficient to atone for all our sins. The prescriptions biblically given against eating blood and these kinds of things have been abrogated in Jesus Christ, because he's the one who takes the civil and ceremonial aspects of the law and he fulfills them such that we are no longer slavishly bound to these civil and ceremonial laws. We have complete freedom in Jesus Christ, but that entails recognizing that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that he's not just a God, as the Jehovah's Witnesses say, but he is God. He's the one who spoke in the universe, leapt into existence, and he's the one who knit your friend together in her mother's womb. So you have two issues here, Cheryl. The one issue is, yes, it's really important to preserve life. But the second thing is that you can't negate, under the guise of not wanting to offend, you can't negate the fact that this is a tremendous opportunity for her to embrace life that is life indeed, the life that comes through Jesus Christ alone.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So perhaps what would be best, Cheryl, is if you hung on, we could talk to you off the air and see what we can do, if anything, to intervene just as a ministry.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, just hang on, Cheryl, and we'll do that. Let's go back to the phone lines, and we'll talk to Jim. He's listening in Bell City, Missouri. Hi, Jim.
Well, hi, Hank. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. I was discussing with another Christian the issues of salvation, and this person made a statement that if somebody is else claims that they're saved, and then we see them, you know, involved in some wickedness or sinning, that it is our responsibility to inform them of that, you know, like as a first resort. And I was asking, you know, what they were using as a scriptural basis for that, and they pointed me toward the watchman prophecy in Ezekiel,
mm-hmm.
and that if the folks, you know, God telling Ezekiel that if folks, wicked folks, didn't turn from their wicked ways, and that Ezekiel, if he had not warned them, that their blood would be on Ezekiel's hands. So what I'm wondering is that for us today also, or was that just a specific punishment for Ezekiel, similar to Moses not being allowed to go into the Promised Land?
Well, look, I think it's really important that if you are a participant in the kingdom, that you are equipped to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. What is that hope? The hope is that you can turn from your wicked ways and you can receive the one who satisfied all of the requirements of the law in your place so that you can be reconciled with the holy God. And I think that the reality is, if you're talking about heaven, there's a hell to shun as well, and thus we should let people know that they're only two kinds of people in the world, those who belong to the Prince of Darkness and those who belong to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I mean, Jesus told his hearers, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. So if Jesus warned his hearers of the dangers of hell, I think we should do so as well. Again, that's what we're being saved from.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Hank. It's helpful.
Well, appreciate your call. Let's go back to the phone lines, and we'll talk to Sam in Oklahoma. Hi, Sam.
Hey.
Hi.
How you doing, Hank?
Good, thank you.
Did they show you what I was asking about?
No, what are you asking about?
Marijuana.
Marijuana?
Yeah.
What do you want to know about it?
Genesis 1:11, where God gave us the grass of the field and the herb yielding its seed and reproducing itself from its seed.
Mm-hmm.
And the fruit trees which reproduce themselves after their kind.
Yes.
And, you know, that's marijuana.
It's also hemlock. I mean, hemlock is a flowering plant, but it's deadly in terms of consuming it. Poison ivy would be another example. I don't think you'd want to eat poison ivy. And you don't want to take those things and consume them that will put you in an altered state of consciousness or be detrimental to your health in other ways. There are many negative and harmful effects with respect to marijuana that include dependence, that include poor motor performance, that can impair cognitive function, that can cause distorted perceptions, problems with learning and memory. And therefore, I don't think that you want to put yourself into a position where you are hindering or harming the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Right. That ain't what I said at all.
Oh, what did I miss? Sorry.
I meant using it for, like, there's like 40 different antibiotics in marijuana that's never been studied because they made it illegal back in the 30s because the big chemical companies couldn't make no money off of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they can make billions of dollars a year by selling us their man-made pills.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, they don't get in trouble when their man-made pills kill people.
So what is your question? I'm sorry, I missed the question.
Why can't we use marijuana, like he says, to use wine for our stomachs once in a while?
Well,
because God gave it to us as meat.
Right. And I have pointed out on this broadcast that you're absolutely right when it comes to wine. You know, you can take a little wine for your stomach, and Paul prescribed that to Timothy. But the one thing that the Bible's clear about is that we shouldn't be wine bibbers. We shouldn't be drunkards, just like we shouldn't be gluttonous, because that causes severe problems. So we have to be stewards of both the physical and the metaphysical aspects of our humanity. And what I've pointed out, maybe you've got a good point, by the way, with respect to the misuse of drugs on a general level, but the point still stands, as I communicated to you earlier. The Bible says that we are to be sober-minded, not indulging in drug-induced stupor. And therefore, we should be very careful about the use of marijuana for all the reasons that I listed, including the fact that mental illness can be one of the derivative factors that occurs as a result of dependence on marijuana. And dependence is a real problem with respect to marijuana. But there are all kinds of other illnesses. So the fact that other drugs can cause problems does not negate the fact that marijuana can cause problems as well. And the principle is inviolate. We are called to be stewards of every aspect of our humanity. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we need to care for the physical aspects of our humanity, but the metaphysical aspects of our humanity as well. We are, unfortunately, out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Please be generous as you give to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Your support is deeply appreciated and will be used for the furtherance of the gospel. So long for now.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
If you're not horrified, you should be, because the relentless assaults of wokeism on sanity and common sense have now reached a fevered pitch. In fact, some astute observers see more than deranged ideologies at work. It's as though the gates of hell have been opened. And alarmingly, the speed of this mindless rush to chaos and potential civilizational collapse is gaining momentum daily. That means Christians need to wake up and wake up fast. One of the best alarm clocks is the upcoming special Woke edition of the Christian Research Journal. It contains sobering articles with penetrating analyses of a social disease that is reaching a flashpoint. To receive your copy of this special edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.